Now, interestingly, one of the first verses that I planned to turn to today for this message was turned to first by our first speaker, by coincidence. In that story, we find a grandfather. We find a frail grandfather who managed at that moment to get enough strength together to sit on the edge of his bed to greet his son and to meet his grandsons. And it's a beautiful moment, very profound in many ways. Now, this grandfather, Jacob, his health had been failing, and this was very near his death, very near the end of his life there. In fact, shortly after that, after this blessing took place, he did die. But before he died, we have this beautiful moment. It's not a sad moment, it's a momentous occasion. Because here we had a father passing on blessings to his son and to his grandsons, who he took as his own sons. This was soon after Jacob and his son Joseph had been reunited, a father and son brought back together after the father had thought that his son was dead. It's a really remarkable story. Now, before he laid hands on his grandsons, Jacob recounted his own blessings. He looked back at his own life, and he looked at the times that God had blessed him, had truly given him some remarkable blessings, that those blessings were passed from his father to him, and before that, his father's father to his father, and so on. And of course, these blessings go back to God. And just like his father before him, just like Isaac placed his hands on his head to bless him, he took his hands, and we know that he crossed his hands at that time, but he took his hands. It's a very intimate moment that we see between a father and his sons, or a grandfather and his grandsons. Let's turn to Genesis 48. Let's read this account again. It doesn't hurt to go back through these things, to pick up some of these beautiful blessings, these beautiful moments that we see in Scripture. And we know that these grandsons were going to receive the inheritance, like the firstborn, in place of the firstborn, actually. And we heard that story earlier. Genesis 48. So in Genesis 48, in verse 8, here it says, "Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?'" So he's having difficulty seeing at this time. He's in his old age. This is how it goes for, as we age, our physical bodies break down. Verse 9, "And Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons whom God has given me in this place.' And he said, 'Please bring them to me and I will bless them.' In verse 10, we see that his eyes were growing dim as he aged. And he talks about how he hadn't even hoped, or he'd lost hope, that he would have even seen his son, let alone his grandchildren, in this place. It's beautiful. As we continue on here, verse 11, "Israel said to Joseph, 'I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring.' So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph." He blessed his son through his grandsons. He took them as his own. And we see in Scripture that sometimes Ephraim and Manasseh were referred to as Joseph. And we also see that all of Israel was sometimes referred to as Ephraim. Whereas Ephraim and Manasseh. So he goes into this blessing. "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, to the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." So he's going into these blessings that he received from God. The angel, talking about the angel of the Lord, who we know is the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." So he's talking about his own redemption, forgiveness of his sins. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And so there we have Jacob passing on these blessings to his grandchildren, who he's taken as his own sons. So like a father to his sons. Now in this blessing, and in all of these blessings that we see in Scripture that are passed from one generation to the next or from father to son, we see a teaching, a reminding of the ways of God. That's because the ways of God in and of themselves are a blessing that we have been given to know the truth of his plans for us, to know the difference between right and wrong, and to have a chance to live the right way, the way that God would have us to live. Those are blessings in themselves. So we see these passing on of the knowledge of these blessings, the knowledge of the truth to the next generation. We also see Jacob's father in different places. If we turn to Genesis chapter 28, we'll look at a few of these blessings here, not all of them. We know that in chapter 27 here, Jacob stole the birthright from his brother. He received the firstborn's inheritance. Of course, we know this was all part of God's plan. But reading some of these blessings that these sons received are really beautiful to see. And we're going to read in chapter 28, the first few verses here. We'll start in verse 3. It says, "May God Almighty bless you." So this is a blessing after that firstborn blessing had been stolen by Jacob. Isaac still has a blessing for him, an additional specific blessing for him. "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So then he sent his son out after he had given him this blessing to go to grow his life. It's a beautiful moment that we have. Now let's turn to Psalms. Psalm chapter 127, specifically. Psalm 127. Now we know one of the potential blessings that God gives people is a family. Of course, that's the ultimate blessing as well. But God gives us families to grow, to pass the blessings that we have on to others. Psalm 127 talks about, in the beginning of this beautiful psalm, it talks about the fact that everything that we do is in vain unless God is with us, unless he is our foundation. And then in verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." So we see there that having a family and passing on those blessings from God is a beautiful blessing. Now, not everybody has children. Now, for Lena and I, we have only, 25 nieces and nephews. That's not too bad. We get a chance to pass some of those blessings on to them. And that's a wonderful thing. And this verse applies to our greater family as well, our church family, being able to pass these beautiful blessings on, as if they were a blessing from a father to a son. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy, we heard some earlier in Deuteronomy about blessings and curses, but we see that God hopes that we choose blessings. Remember, I was talking about passing on the teachings that we have, the truth that we have, to the next generation. That's very important in maintaining these blessings, passing on the teachings from God to the next generation, to the next people that are going to be brought up. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7, it says, "For what great nation is there that has God so near it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him." So this says that the greatest blessing that we have is the fact that we have God with us. And verse 8, "And what great nation is there that has such statutes such guidance from our God, and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day. God gives us his law. He gives us his guidance, his righteous guidance. That's a huge blessing. And we have to pass these blessings along. Otherwise, they're useless. If we do not pass these blessings on, they're useless to us. They end right there as soon as those words fall out of God's mouth. Verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Pass those blessings on to your children, to your grandchildren. Give them blessings, these same blessings that you have received. These are the instructions that God is giving us. So we have to remember that God himself is a blessing to us. His righteous ways, his laws, his guidance are a blessing to us. But we have to practice these blessings, otherwise we'll forget them. We have to put these blessings into practice. And we also have to teach and train with these blessings, otherwise they will be forgotten and useless. And we see a lot of times in the world that we live in, not just here in the U.S., all over the place, we see that people have forgotten these ways of God. People have forgotten the blessings from God, and they try to make up their own minds, and they don't pass on the truth. They don't seek the truth. And those blessings are taken away. They're forgotten. They're useless then. Now, before Jacob, before Isaac, and before Abraham, there was a father who gave, you could say, the first blessing to humanity that we have written down here. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We have this first blessing from the ultimate father to his children. This loving father. And we see in this creation account, we see this very intimate creation. And that's a really beautiful thing. Just as we see these blessings from fathers to sons, they lay hands on them. It's very close. It's very personal. We even see that Isaac, when he was blessing Jacob, even though he thought he was Esau, he leaned in, he smelled him, because that's how he identified him. It's very intimate. And we see this in God's creation. We know that the Father created everything through the Son. And we have in this creation account, the Son creating man with his own hands, and then that breath of life is breathed into him. It's very intimate if you really think about it. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Not just some, you know, piece of artwork that looked like something else, but in his own image, making that instant connection there to himself. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Grow my family, pass on these blessings, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Pass on these blessings, grow my family, he says here. It's really beautiful. Now let's turn to Psalm 103. There's a beautiful blessing here. Not so much a blessing, but a description of God's intimate blessings, his intimate love that he has for us, for his children. Psalm 103, in verse 13, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, the Lord is like a father to his children. So this is describing who God is, his nature. It also works to describe his purpose. He's like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. He's tender, he's compassionate. And if we read the following verses, we would see that he knows our weaknesses. He knows that we stumble. He knows that we are made out of dust and that we need him. And he's compassionate because he knows that. And he reaches out to us and he gives us these blessings. And we know that we are God's children. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Sometimes, you know, we read in the the Old Testament a lot about the nation of Israel, God's people, a physical nation, but we know that God has created a spiritual nation. Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So as many as those who have God's Spirit in them, have God close inside of them, that intimate relationship, are sons of God, sons and daughters, family, and ready to receive that blessing, and also having received those blessings. So we know that we are His children, His spiritual creation, and He has so much greater plans for us to make us even more like Him, and not just that we kind of look like Him, but that we are like Him in our character and even our makeup. Our entire makeup, what we're composed of, will change. We are God's heritage. It's like that description in that psalm, you know, the man who has his quiver full, that's a blessing to him. Well, God has many arrows in His quiver, and we are part of that quiver of arrows that God uses to go and do His work on this earth. That's a beautiful thing. We are constantly on the Father's mind, regardless of what we're doing, where we're at. Right now, at this moment, we are on God's mind, not just as a group, but also individually. Have you ever thought about that? That all of you here are in God's thoughts individually. He's thinking about us all. Maybe it makes us a little nervous. We start thinking, well, He's thinking about me. He's watching me right now. What am I up to? But it also, you know, we have this warm feeling. I get that warm feeling when I think about it. My God loves me, and He cares for me. He wants to hold me close. He's thinking about me right now. And not, you know, He's not just looking down and thinking, well, Lewis, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to punish you for this one. You know, He's not just thinking those things, hopefully. No, but He's thinking good thoughts. He's thinking of those blessings that He has already told us about. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. I really enjoy reading through Jeremiah, and you get glimpses of the new covenant in here. You get glimpses of the fact that God's people are supposed to have His ways in their hearts, in their minds, including His Spirit. Jeremiah 29. We see a glimpse into God's mind, how He feels about us. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. We should think of this verse often. "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you." That's in chapter 30. That's a beautiful verse too. 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So God thinks thoughts of peace for us. He wants peace for us. He is pursuing peace for us. He has a hope for us, a future, future blessings. And without His blessings, there is no future for us. There is no hope. But God has given us this blessing of a hope, of a wonderful future, of bringing many sons and daughters to glory, of bringing His family close to Him so that He can continue to bless us. It reminds me of that verse it's in one of the Psalms where David describes, you know, his thoughts about mankind. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" It's the same sentiment, but, you know, from David's standpoint, he's like, well, why is God thinking of me? Look how small I am, and yet here, this amazing Creator has His eyes on me and His mind on me. His heart is focused on me. He wants good things for me, these wonderful blessings. And we know in order to bring about these blessings, and we talk about this often, God the Father sent His Son to this world. His firstborn son, this family connection is there. He came to redeem us with His blood so that we could have these blessings of hope, these blessings of eternal life. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. blessings of redemption, so that we can draw close to our Father, so that we can receive an inheritance from Him alongside the Son. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," so these blessings are passed down to us, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." God has purposes for us, and not just to give us blessings and send us on our way so we can go make mistakes, but so that we can be holy without blame before Him. And we see this love of God described here. "Having predestined us to adoption as sons," God had planned to have a family by Jesus Christ to Himself through that redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasures of His will, according to God's heart, according to the desires of His heart, which are pure, which are wonderful, lovely, and full of love, to praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself." So we see God's intentions for us, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of the time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him." So we see glimpses in this passage of God's great plan for all of humanity, for the universe, in fact. Excuse me. Now, Jesus Christ did something more than just redeem us. He came to reveal that Father-Son relationship between Him and the Father, and to show us that we can have that same relationship between our Father and us. We're going to turn to a few verses here that describe the fact that Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, this beautiful personal relationship. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. Jesus Christ talking here. He says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." So we see that relationship and that possibility, that hope of a relationship, is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it's a beautiful passage here that we learn the nature of God, both God the Father and God the Son here. John chapter 1 and verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Jesus Christ came to reveal that Father-Son relationship so that we can draw close to the Father, so personally have a relationship with Him. And we receive blessings from the Father through the Son and in different ways, through different people that come. And we have these blessings written down here in the Bible. We're going to look at a few of these blessings from our Father. James chapter 1. In James is a book that has lots of good information for Christian living, how to live as a Christian, how to hold your tongue when you need to, how to be bold when you need to be bold. But it's also filled with blessings. James 1, in verse 16, James 1, verse 16, it says, "And one of you says," or I always get the wrong chapter here. Maybe I need to change Bibles. 1 verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God's character is perfect. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, both Father and Son. And those great gifts come from our Father, the Father of lights. Lights representing good, righteousness, hope, a future. We see that these blessings come to us from the Father. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. He's made us the first fruits of this plan of salvation behind our brother who was resurrected before us. So we see these blessings. Now this chapter also goes on to describe the fact that we are also supposed to be blessings to others. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Isaiah chapter 41. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, I got the right chapter here, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That hand representing God's authority, His power, His strength, His personal touch on us. Verse 11, "Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." And we see this beautiful image of God reaching out to us and holding our hand, helping us up when we fall, when our enemies are upon us. So we see this beautiful blessing of protection that our Father gives us and wants to give us. And we heard about that protection in some of the other messages. Even in times of trouble, of tribulation, of pestilence, God gives us this blessing of protection. Now we're going to look at a few Psalms. We'll stay in the Psalms for a few minutes here. Psalm chapter 32 to start off with. There's some beautiful Psalms that describe some beautiful blessings from our Father. Psalm chapter 32, in verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." So we see this beautiful blessing of forgiveness, "whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity or sinfulness, breaking the law, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Now here's a brief glimpse into somebody who is filled with their sins, and that pressure of their sins is upon them. Verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin to you." Repentance here. "And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." So we have this beautiful blessing of forgiveness from our Father. Over just a few pages, maybe even on the same page, Psalm 34. We'll start reading in verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." So this is describing blessings that are given to those who trust in God. "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." This is a blessing of sustenance. God sustains us. He gives us that blessing if we seek Him, if we fear Him, if we also want to draw close to Him as He wants to draw close to us. And He sustains us regardless of what's going on, regardless of what our outlook is in the moment. God sustains us. Psalm chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84. In verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." That sun representing his glory, his brightness to reveal the truth, and a shield of protection there. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blesses the man who trusts in you. So we see this, these blessings of grace, God's favor, and of good things. Whatever God deems is good for us. We have these beautiful blessings that are given to us. If we trust in him, trust in his blessings, these blessings from our Father to us, his children. Psalm 146. Here we have some other blessings described. 146, starting in verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And describing God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. So here we have blessings of justice, of healing, of freedom. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The way of the wicked is the opposite of blessings. And God wants to turn that upside down. He even wants to bless those who are wicked if they will allow him to. But we see these beautiful blessings of justice, true justice, not just worldly justice that is flawed, but perfect justice. And we see this freedom of anyone and everyone who is oppressed in any way. And there, you know, how many ways can you think of that people in this world are oppressed, that continue to be oppressed? So many. We can't even count them. And most of us haven't even seen some of the horrors that people experience in this world. But we know that God has plans to bring these blessings of justice and of freedom and healing to the world. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned a little bit earlier the fact that these blessings that we have been given are supposed to be passed on. We are supposed to pass these same blessings on to others through the abilities, the powers, the words, the encouragement, everything that God has given us, even life itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8, starting in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So God make sure that we have what we need, the blessings that we need, so that we can go and do good work, passing on these blessings. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. May God help you to be blessings to others, as he has been to you. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession, your actions, your words, the way that you live, to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. We are supposed to share these beautiful blessings with all of mankind, everyone we come in contact with, people who we might not have ever met, but they see us walking on the street, they hear our words. These messages are going to be put up on the internet for all to see and hear. And may God allow them to be blessings to those who do hear them. And may we be able to pass these blessings on. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We have to remember to thank God always for His indescribable gift, these blessings, life, repentance, hope for the future. And we're going to turn to one more scripture here, Psalm chapter 67. I got to get ready for this one. I need some more water. Psalm chapter 67. It's nice to hear people out doing things. Psalm 67. This is a beautiful psalm. It's small, but it's mighty. And it describes these beautiful blessings from God, from our Father, to His sons, to His children. It also reminds us that these blessings are to be passed along to the world, to all the world, all of humanity. And God wants to give these blessings to everyone. Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Not just a few nations, not just a small group of people, but the entire earth will be governed by a righteous judge. Verse 5, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. We know that the knowledge of God will be all over the earth. It will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's a beautiful memory verse there for us. And this is describing that time. And when all of those who are alive will fear God, everyone, and those blessings will be received by everyone who will receive them, everyone who is yet alive. It's a beautiful time. That's our hope that we have. It's beautiful to see in these scriptures these blessings from God, these intimate blessings that He wants to give us, that He desires to give us and has given us. And we have to remember to pass these blessings on to others. Otherwise, we will forget about them. If we're not constantly talking about these things, remembering what God has done for us and putting them into practice, we're going to forget them. And then these blessings are useless to us. They're no good. And then we won't be able to be part of God's plan. We want to be part of His beautiful plan to bring blessings to this world. And we have this opportunity now, as our Father has blessed us, we can pass on these blessings to the entire world now in this time.